Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part one of our two-part study from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, titled, Neither Give Heed to Fables. There are way too many fables to ever tackle each one and expose them. But in this message, we will look at seven of the most commonly quoted fables that are found on bumper stickers and t-shirts, social media, and in songs, books, poetry, movies, and we'll compare these to Scripture. And before going to our study, we want to share another letter we love. This letter comes from Perry and Pamela in Pensacola, who wrote, What a blessing and encouragement. We enjoy watching your solid Bible-based King James teachings on YouTube. Thank you. Over the past years, we have sadly witnessed many ministers and Bible teachers fall away from the true and solid teachings of Jesus Christ. How sad for them and many of those that they have influenced and have caused to be led astray. These have blended into the worldly environment, many of them unknowingly. In photographic circles, the closer two subjects move together, the more imperceptible the difference in light illumination of both subjects. At some point, the subjects will become less noticeable from one another and will eventually appear the same. They blend. Mr. Miller, you most definitely stand out apart from this world of false preachers and false teachers. Thank you again for your unwavering stand on the true Word of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the end, the letter with this comment. The song with the words, If I could sing 1,000 years, I'd just begun to sing, Worthy is the Lamb. Wow, we love it. We have listened to this song every day since you put it on YouTube. Could you please let us know how we can get a copy of the words to this song? Love in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Perry and Pamela. And we thank you for that letter, Perry and Pamela. And that song was written by my wonderful wife, Jenny. The lyrics are posted with the video, but we'll see what we can do about getting those lyrics posted on our website. And I agree, it is an incredible song that the Lord gave to us through Jenny. And as we prepare to start our study, we encourage you to write. These letters are a great encouragement, and we also want to extend a special word of thanks to those who enclose gifts to support this ministry. And I just want to mention that those gifts we don't solicit. You only give as the Lord leads you. But those gifts have enabled us to add video to our sermon audio messages. They cost extra every time we upload that video. And also adding transcripts to many of our messages, which are very beneficial for those who are hearing impaired. So if you would like, you can write to us at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Or you can go to our website at bbfohio.com and use the Contact Us button there. Now we want to begin our study with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to teach your words from this perfect book called the King James Bible. I thank you for helping me to overcome my illness and to have the strength to continue in this ministry, and I don't take that for granted. And I thank you for sending so many who hunger for your words and for giving me the opportunity to teach the Bible to these and to preach the gospel to those who are still lost in sin. May you use me in spite of myself. May you give understanding to those who watch and listen to this Bible study on the radio or on CD or DVD, and those who watch or listen on the internet. And as you have promised that your word will not return void, we preach with faith in your promises, and in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. We're going to get into a phrase in 1 Timothy 1:4, if you want to turn there. Neither give heed to fables. And I put the Aesop's fables up there because we're not really going to be talking about that kind of thing. But that gives you an idea what a fable is. That Aesop's fables is not a history book. It's a collection of fictional stories. And I'm not here to blast that. I like a good fiction myself. We'll say more about that in a minute. But in 1 Timothy 1:4, there's this phrase at the beginning. And it says, neither give heed to fables. Go ahead and read that verse with me. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So the Christians, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about us saved people. It is so hard to get Christians to just love that book.
Oh yeah,
amen. That Christians are always chasing rabbit trails. And there's always a fad. And, you know, my first 10 years as a Christian, I got caught up in those things. Sometimes. Not all the time, but a lot of them I did. And at the end of it, I don't know if you remember the prayer of Jabez. You remember the David Wilkerson?
Yeah.
I mean, for a while, for about 2 years at least, everything was the prayer of Jabez. And there was calendars and books and T-shirts and bumper stickers. And it was a total farce. They took that text completely out of context and told people to pray that like it was a little mantra. But the whole evangelical world was caught up in that for a couple of years. And you'll see these. And of course, the big TV preachers always have to have a fad and they have to have something going on. And then you got the honest guys, like the guy in Creflo Dollar, who just says, send me money so I can buy a $65 million jet. And people do it. But we're told not to give heed to fables, and a lot of this stuff is just that. It's fables. And endless genealogies which minister questions, and you want to know what that's about, just look into these people who try to claim that Jesus was their particular race. There's this white supremacist. When I was about 3 or 4 years old in the faith, I was given a newspaper and literature, this thing called white, they call it the Christian identity. You ever heard of that? And that is that white people are the descendants of the true Jews. And that and Jesus was a white dude.
Is that like the British Israelis?
Where you at, Thompson? Oh, we were just talking about you. Are your ears burning? Because I want to test that scientifically. We were just talking about you a few minutes ago. But yes, that's exactly what it is. It's similar to it anyway. The Jews, when they came out of the captivity of Assyria, Israel, the northern tribes, where they were taken captivity in Assyria. And when they came out, they went up into the Caucasus Mountains and then came across into Europe. And that's why we're called Caucasians.
Oh.
The Jews are actually Caucasians, see.
Oh.
That's baloney, but that's what they teach. And then you have, there's, what's it called?
Black Israelites.
And I've talked to several of these guys. I mean, they're serious that they think that that Jesus was a black dude. And that they come up with this whole thing I can't remember off the top of my head. Their pattern goes into Africa, though. And it's baseless. There's no basis to it. And now you've got this attempt to basically not claim it's a racial thing. This guy named Steven Anderson put out the movie Marching to Zion. And you have this thing where they just want you to believe that no one can claim to be Jews. And the true Jews are just Christians. So if you're saved, you're the true Jew. And I'm going to be making videos. As you know, I'm full-time, and it's taken about 6 weeks or 2 months, however long I've been full-time, just trying to clean up the mess because I'd fallen so far behind on things and everything. And I'm getting the room set up with a little studio, and I'm going to be able to record these videos and get them done more quickly. And one of the things I want to do is take the Marching to Zion video and break it down, because there have been a couple of guys do that, but one kind of rushed through it, and the other one is somebody I just don't recommend. And he's not really bringing up the things that I want to bring up out of the movie. So they'll compliment each other if everybody watches both of them. But anyway, what do they get into? They get into this kind of stuff, things that minister questions rather than godly edifying. This Steven Anderson's got this video attacking the Jews, and he's calling it soul winning, and he's going to go up to Dearborn, Michigan and give that DVD out by the thousands to Muslims.
Wearing a Free Palestine shirt.
Wearing a shirt that has the Palestinian flag and says Free Palestine. And in Arabic on the DVD, you think it says Marching to Zion, because when he's telling everybody, that's what the video is. But he had them change the title in Arabic to The Jews and Their Lies.
Oh,
Awesome.
And so he's going to go up there and basically tell Muslims, hey man, we're in this thing together against the Jews. That's what's going on. This is what causes that stuff. And now, what we're going to talk about this morning is kind of a little more general fables. Things that some of you probably heard for years. Fables are fictitious tales. And this is what I was getting at just a minute ago, and I'm going to stop myself because I know I was going to repeat it. There's nothing wrong with fiction until it's presented as fact.
Yes, correct.
Can you say evolution?
Yes.
It knows microevolution and macroevolution. Microevolution is this changes within species where, you know, the beak on a bird might get longer or shorter over a period of generations, but it's still a bird.
Yes.
And macroevolution, the idea that a bird was once a dinosaur and it evolved into being a bird. And that dinosaur was once a fish that came out of the water with no legs or arms and wiggled around until it popped out some legs and arms. That would be called a what?
Baloney.
Baloney. Now, but I'm not... I try to stay away from those original Greek terms. It's a fable. Amen?
He's right. As the good book says, if you spit in the air, it gets in your face.
Nonsense.
Now, did you hear that?
This is the end. He's right. As the good book says, if you spit in the air, it gets in your face.
Nonsense.
Can somebody tell me where that is in the good book? Yeah, that's from Fiddler on the Roof. We'll come back to him in a minute. Anything presented as fact must be tested by the book.
Amen.
In other words, in that situation, you would have said, well, that's true because I can scientifically test that. Where's the wind? Okay. That's true. Just proved it. But is it in the Bible?
No.
I don't believe it is. So, we've talked about Acts 17:11, and I bring it up every once in a while because I want you to memorize that verse. At least get it pounded in your head if you can't memorize word for word. Acts 17:11, they're in Berea. And it says, these, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they, watch this, received the word with all readiness of mind. So they were receptive and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul is teaching, and they are receiving it, but then they're constantly doing what my wife does while I'm teaching. What? Oh, that's true. Okay.
Don't keep in line.
You watch her, she does it, and I love it.
Because
that's what everyone in this room, every one of you should be doing while I'm teaching. I am not your source of truth.
Amen.
I am a messenger. And every man who teaches is a messenger. So what I'm doing is I'm teaching you what I've learned from the book. Now, you guys learn things too, and you could share them with me, but God hasn't called you to be up here teaching. But I'm teaching you, and I've learned from you.
Amen.
And then as I teach, you better believe I'm going to do this to you. If you come up to me and you say, well, you know, if you go over here, you'll see this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to say, oh, really? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And I love it when I see that going on out here.
Amen.
And I'm teaching, and sometimes they're like, I'm going to make a note of that and get back to you. Amen. Great attitude. The bad attitude is when you believe something and I show it to you from Scripture and you refuse to change your mind. That's the bad attitude. I've had that attitude. And I want to tell you, what you believe can cause you a lot of problems, can even kill you. I tell the story of the Jehovah's Witness down in Cincinnati. He was into guns, collecting them. And he just collected them. He was cleaning one. He didn't know it was loaded. And boom, blew his foot off. He died because he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Blood transfusion.
He refused to receive blood, so he bled to death. There was no reason for that man to die. He believed a fable. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you you can't take blood.
Amen.
Amen. And so forth.
Daughters,
girls and children, girls and people, are radical.
Girls are people.
Open their minds to great thoughts.
Yeah. I'd like them to know a good book.
Well, the Bible has many lessons for our times.
Bertie, I'm a very poor man. But food for lessons, huh? Good, good. Stay with us for the Sabbath. Of course, we don't eat like kings, but we don't starve either. As the rule book says, when a poor man eats a chicken, one of them is sick.
Where does the book say that?
It doesn't actually say that, but someplace it has something about the chicken.
That is what it's like talking to a lot of Christians. They'll just say, well, you know, the Bible says, and you know, and they'll just throw something out there. And they're like, wait a minute. Yes. And, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen?
Yeah.
Not in the Bible. But that might be true. Or it might be at least something that will cause you to take a shower. Amen? And so we encourage that. But that's not from the Bible. See? There are a lot of things. And what I'm telling you is, it doesn't necessarily mean it's false. But if they claim it's in the Bible, number one, find it. And then number two, you better test it to see if it really is saying what they're saying it's saying. And we're going to look at some of these modern fables and compare them with the Scripture, because that's what we're supposed to do. And here's fable number one we're going to look at. God helps those who help themselves. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this... is often attributed to Ben Franklin, quoted in Poor Richard's Almanac in the year 1757, but is originally found in an article written in 1698 by Algernon Sidney, and the article was titled Discourses Concerning Government. How many of you knew that? I didn't. I thought it was Poor Richard's Almanac, and Benjamin Franklin just made it up. What you find is a lot of Poor Richard's sayings he collected as he traveled around the world, and a lot of them were in French, which you've... I mean, that tells you right there, you better check them out. Amen? Amen. But the Bible says this in Romans 5, 6. Amen. Read that. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You see, God helps those who are helpless.
Amen. Yes.
God helps you, but you know what? He can't help you until you acknowledge your need.
Amen.
That's why we've been going through Galatians and showing that the law doesn't save you, but it shows you your need. And as long as someone's trying to be saved by keeping the law, they can't be saved. Amen. It's only when they, maybe they try it for a while and they're like, I give up. Well, good. Now you can get saved. Because now you realize the law can't save you. What can save you? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Now, if you're Campbellite, it's the water. Yeah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the city water. Amen? No, it doesn't work. You have to stop saying you can do something to save yourself before Jesus can save you. We are helpless and hopeless on our own. God encourages you to do what's right. And so you should... get up and go to work. You shouldn't just say, you know what, I'm going to just trust the Lord to pay my bills. And that was tempting up until the last couple months when I did go full time. But you know, I had 5 kids in the house. 5 kids and 3 dogs. I had 8 cute little faces to feed. 8. And have you seen the grocery bill these days? That was like 1.5 of my paychecks a month just to feed these, I was going to say beasts, but Charlie's sitting here, so I don't want to offend him. But so I thought, you know, there's a thing about faith, but there's also some common sense here. So we're down to 1 child who is pretty self-sufficient most of the time and 2 dogs, and one of them barely eats. And so, you know, the bills shrank. And suddenly we're like, yeah, we can do this. Yeah. So that's what you do. You have to take that into consideration. Janie's looking for a job, but she didn't quit her job before she went looking for another one. Amen?
Amen?
See, that's what you have to use, this common sense when it comes to daily living. But you have to understand that the very ability for you to get out of bed. Brother Dave, you can say amen.
Amen.
The very ability to get out of bed and go do your job is a gift from God.
Amen.
Yeah, you've been given strength, but don't forget, you've been given strength. You got strength? Amen. You got, Janice was talking about, I think she's smart enough to do what she's wanting to do. I've told her I've seen people go through that program she's looking into going through, and they're not as smart as she is. What? Who should she thank? The Lord.
Yes.
Given her that mind, that ability to go do those things. That's the simple truth. And without God, we cannot help ourselves.
Amen.
One of the saddest things I see today are self-sufficient Christians. Christians who think it's all about their ability to do things. I thank God every little thing I get done. When I get a sermon prepared, when I present the sermon, when I get it edited, when it's uploaded, when I get emails or letters back, when I get to share the gospel with somebody, whatever it is in ministry, I stop every time and say, thanks for that opportunity, Lord. Thanks for letting me do that. And that's how you pray, folks. Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Thank Him every time He gives you the ability to do something. You know how many times I looked at the little babies and then they got bigger and bigger. And sometimes you didn't even want to look at them. And I still thank God for them.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's the attitude. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:27. And Jesus, looking up upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know that's the motto of the state of Ohio? They don't really believe it, but amen, they got the right motto. Amen?
Amen?
Some of them do, but not enough of them. Let's look at another fable. Keep calm because God loves you the way you are. Now think about this. That's a half-truth. See, part of telling the truth is telling the whole truth. God loves you the way you are. Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. The unsaved man uses this to excuse their sin. Having been born this way. Too many Christians use this to excuse their unwillingness to grow and change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the way I am and God made me this way. If you don't like it, you just need to get over it. How many of you have seen that attitude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And see, the half-truth, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing. Do you realize that even though you're saved, in your flesh,
yes,
you're still an unclean thing.
Right. Yes.
Your flesh hasn't been saved yet.
Amen.
Some of you may think you're glorified, but you ain't.
Amen.
So, one of my friends turned 40-something yesterday, and on Facebook, she looked really young and nice, and everybody's like, wow, you look so good and so young. And she posted a website and said you can buy, or they said something about where do you get that Fountain of Youth, and she posted a website and said you can buy that Fountain of Youth here, and it was a place where you buy makeup. Because I'll guarantee you, when she woke up that morning and looked at herself, she thought, oh Lord help me, you know, and starts chiseling and whatever you women do. I just hear noises. I don't know what's going on behind that door. But we are all in the flesh as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's your works. They're as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Look at this. God made us, but sin has stained us.
Correct.
Amen.
You get that?
Yep.
Once we are saved, we are predestined to be changed. See, the Calvinists messed that up because they put the predestination before that. They get the cart before the horse. No, the Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. You know, the only person here this morning who should say, God made me this way, and I'm going to stay this way, and you just better get used to it. You know, the only person who should say that is the one who is a walking, talking replica of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Please rise. Anybody? Any takers? You want to prove it?
You wouldn't say that. You were that one.
I would hope not. But some people think they are because that I'm not going to change. God's not going to change me. He made me the way I am. No, this is it. God loves you too much to leave you in the condition that you're in.
Amen.
Amen. See, God loves you the way you are, but He ain't about to leave you there.
Right.
And just take my word for it. You can fight it all you want. You might as well just throw up the white flag and say, "All right, Lord, have at it." Because the more you fight, the harder it's going to be. Amen. Now let's look at fable number 3. We are all God's children. Amen? We are the world. I sang that. We're going to end up adding that to the praise book. I keep singing it. Look, people who believe that they are already a child of God will not see the need to be born again in order to become a child of God. That's the problem with that message. We run around saying, "Oh, we're all the children of God. We all pray to the same God. We're all one big happy human family." Well, then why do I need to be saved?
Why did Christ die?
Amen. Look what it says in the Bible. You're not a child of God. You better do something to become a child of God.
Yes.
Read that with me. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You are not a child of God until you have the power of attorney given to you, the power to become a son of God.
Right.
And He's made it so simple. All you have to do is you're going this way, me, me, me. And then you turn in repentance toward God, in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has died on the cross and shed His precious blood to pay for your sin. He was buried, and on the third day He rose from the dead, proving His power over death and His victory over your sin. And if you believe that, He hands you the paperwork. You are now a son of God. You are now a child of God. Amen. Now, false teachers abuse the following text by ignoring the context. You've heard this before, Acts 17, 28, 29. This is a great passage. It says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said." He's talking to the pagans. "For we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." The context is not about them being saved or not about them being a child of God in the sense of being one of God's children that is in His family. The context is Paul speaking of their belief in a Creator. His point is about God not being a rock or a piece of wood. He's trying to say, now if God made you and you're a person with personality and you've got movement, you're not a thing, you are a real living human being, then God's not a piece of rock. God's not a statue. And so don't think of God that way. That was his point. See, people ignore that context and ignore all the other Bible verses that teach otherwise. And they say, "Oh, we're all just the children of God." No. Unsaved men and women are called what? The children of wrath, not the children of God. In Ephesians, it says in Ephesians 2:3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh." Remember I said the flesh? You aren't glorified yet. Your flesh is still in sin, still wicked, and of the mind, and what's it say? "We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others."
That concludes part one of this study. You can find part two of this message, along with hundreds of other free Bible studies in streaming video and MP3 audio at bbfohio.com.